right. So the one thing I got to tell you before we get started is embrace the weird. All right? Yeah. I was so excited about this series that we find ourselves in. My name's Trey Bowden. I'm one of the elders here. I have the opportunity to teach occasionally, lead worship, and all that sort of thing. But this particular series is something I'm really passionate about, mainly just because, like, I thought for all of my life I was going to be a worship pastor. That's what I thought I was going to do. And actually got hired in a church to do that and then never did it. I got into, like, video production and all that sort of stuff. But when I found a home here at Resonate, I was like, man, this is great. I can, like, lead worship here. And so I want to first thank you for allowing me to express that gift to the body, because I tell the band sometimes, they're like, I'm not the best band leader because you never know where I'm going. And guess what? You never know where I'm going this morning. So just go with me. It's going to be fun. It's going to be great. But one of my favorite songs was known in kind of the worship leader world as like a worship anthem. Very similar to, like, you know, a rock anthem, you know, where it starts off like real slow and then it ends up like having some sort of like epic like bridge and whatever. And to me, that's what makes a great rock song, and it's what makes a great worship song, minus the fact that we're singing about God and worship songs, which is extraordinarily even better. But this song is How He Loves. And the song is written by a gentleman named John Mark McMillan, which some of you might, if you listen to worship music a lot, you'd be like, wait a minute, I thought that was by David Crowder. Well, before David Crowder, John Mark McMillan actually wrote this song. The first thing is I want to just go through the lyrics really quick. I'm going to put it up on the screen. And I want us to think through an exercise, and this is for all ages. These are the three things I want you to think about. What do you see? What does it make you think? And what does it make you wonder? So it's a thinking routine by Harvard Project Zero. I used to be a teacher as well. What do you see, what do you think, and what do you wonder as we read this? And we're going to have a little bit of a sharing time, and then we'll go from there. He is jealous for me, loves like a hurricane, I am a tree, bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions, eclipsed by glory, I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. Oh, how he loves us, how he loves us, how he loves us so. We are his portion and he is our prize, drawn to the redemption by the grace in his eyes. If grace is an ocean, we're all sinking. So heaven meets earth like a sloppy wet kiss, and my heart turns violently inside of my chest. I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way. So I'm going to have Roger just flip through those lyrics again and just kind of just go through it slowly and just kind of repeat it until we're kind of done with this section. What does it first make you, what do you see in these lyrics? Anybody want to shout something out?
Weather elements.
Good. Great.
Passion.
Awesome. Nature, I love it. What else?
Seeing a play on words with affliction and affection.
Ooh, I love that. As like a creative person, I'm like, ooh, that's I gotta dig into that. What do you think? What does this make you think?
Yeah, so what you're thinking about is the intensity of God's love and how that's connected to all sorts of natural elements, but even connected to this, even just expression of love.
Yeah, that's good. Thank you, Bianca. Anything else that makes you think?
All right, what about wonder? What does it make you wonder? What makes you curious when you're looking at this? Ah, interesting. What is he talking about there, and specifically, what was he experiencing that he's being this eclipse is happening? Definitely going to talk about that. What else does it make you wonder? Say again.
Why he loves us so much.
Why he loves us so much. Wow. Yeah. Anything else? So real quick, diving into this is I used to love like Behind the Music. If anyone is familiar with VH1, that was my afternoon activity. And I was like 12 and 13, and I've watched some reruns of that. And I'm like, wow, I watched that when I was 12 or 13. But I loved music. I love getting these stories behind it. I love the Bluebird Cafe. I love all these things where I get to hear these songwriters. And so John Mark McMillan, this particular song, a worship anthem oftentimes is like one of those things where it's like, let's go. Like we, at the end of the song, we should be raising our hands. We should be like feeling it and all this sort of thing. The picture of John Mark McMillan that I want you to get when he is writing this song is a man in deep grief, which might be really surprising. In fact, he actually said he didn't write this for the church. He actually wrote it for himself. And if you actually listen to the original song, which by the way, I'll put up this QR code, it is okay to pull out your phone and scan it, and someone's video is gonna start playing. That's fine, it happens, it's no worries, right? But this is actually him telling the story of this song, and I say go back and watch it later. If you wanna watch it now, fine, great, that's cool. Just put your headphones on. But the thing is that this song is born out of this period of grief where he lost a really, really close friend to him. And where his position is in this song is he is in this moment of like trying to find and understand God's love in the midst of some chaotic and hard things. And certainly we talked a little bit about that so far in this series as we've been going through songs that we sing. So we're not gonna really dive much into that now. But I do think what this song shows us is this ferocious, intense, just extreme lover that God is. And if there is a story that I can point to that I feel like that this song really connects to for me, it is the story of the prodigal son. And so we're gonna be in Luke 15 this morning. And I'm gonna read the story to us. Jesus is there and he's preaching to a crowd and he says, "There was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me.' And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into the far country, and there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and earth and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of you, your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father." Now, first weird moment. I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to experience this. And I want you to put, and if you're closing your eyes, it's awkward. You can just put your head down. We're not praying a prayer, people, okay? But this is what we're doing is I want you to put yourself in a rolling field. And you are the father. And you have been there for days waiting. And people have come out to you and said, "He's not coming back. He's not." But in your gut, you're saying, "Even if he's not, I will stand and wait." But while he was a long way off, so the father,
you in this moment. You see your son, you see your daughter, you see your best friend, you see that person who is lost and far away coming over that hill. His father saw him and felt compassion. Did he walk? Did he crawl? Did he wait? He ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, "Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." And you as that father, in that embrace, in that strong embrace, you say, "Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to celebrate. You can open your eyes. Too often we come to Scripture and we don't necessarily try and enter into the story. And I think sometimes we do that with our music too. We don't choose to enter into the things that we sing. We don't think about that what we are saying out loud is at some level, whether it be a vow or whether it be some sort of context of like being able to, affirming in us the truth of God. And so this morning, that's what I want you to realize. And if there's one thing I want you to take away this morning, is that God doesn't love with a fist bump. Okay? So everyone give each other fist bumps. God does not love like that. Because God is not a bro. All right? God's not a bro. God is an intense, extravagant lover. And that's what we get to experience in this song. So we're going to start off with this first stanza here. He is jealous for me. Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. Now, we've got some things happening here. And the thing is I'm going to need a volunteer, someone on the medium to little end. I need, you know, height wise. Can someone volunteer? You want to come up? Come on. Abby. Let's go, Abby. Now, Abby, have you ever been in a hurricane? What does a hurricane look like? Do you know?
There's a lot of wind.
Yeah.
And sometimes trees knock down.
Yeah, sometimes it's really destructive, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, which is something interesting about God's love that we'll get to in a second. You know, I'm going to try and simulate a hurricane, and I wonder if you can help me. Can you help me?
Yes.
I drive a Jeep, so I love wind blowing in my hair. You're about to have a lot of wind in your hair. Is that cool? Let's do it. All right, come on over. Everyone give Abby a round of applause for doing this. All right. All right, so Abby, what I've got is I've got a tree. Now, Mr. Trey was really trying to figure out how to make this happen otherwise, but it didn't necessarily work out. What I am going to want you to do is to hold right here, okay? And, do you mind? Could you crisscross applesauce? Would that be okay? Awesome. That's sweet. Okay, now what we're going to do is I'm going to position the hurricane in front of you. My friend Melvin has this giant fan, okay? And guess what? When I turn this thing on, I want you to hold on to the bottom of that right where that toothpick is and just let it kind of fold over, okay? Because we want to get this picture of what this looks like. Now, this is a lot of wind. Are you ready? Are you sure? All right. All right. You can let it bend over just a little bit, okay? Awesome. All right. So I want you to take a look at the posture of this wind, okay? Look at this tree being bent over. Now, can someone tell me where God is in this scenario? Say again. The fan, that's right. God here is the fan. Now, what's interesting about hurricanes? How long do hurricanes last? Maybe three days, maybe 24 hours. How long does God's love last? Forever, right? Now, what is the tree? us. That's right. The tree is us. Now, I want you to notice, look at how the tree is bent over. What is bending the tree over? The wind, right? Now, in this song, what is the wind? God's love and mercy. All right, Abby, thank you so much. You can go sit down real quick. Hang on. Awesome. Great work. Now, here's the thing. Abby said something that was very insightful. The hurricanes are destructive. But let me tell you about the wind of God. It is not just destructive, it is constructive. What I love about this line is that we see that God's love is as strong as a hurricane. But it's relentless and never stopping. And we aren't like the weatherman that's like, here we are reporting here. You know, we're leaning into the, that's not what our position is. Our position is to be rooted and bent over. And that's actually a position that he calls us into, which for some of us would be like, is that love? But the weight that's pushing on us as we're bent over by God's love is his mercy and grace. Let me tell you something. You cannot outlove God. It's not possible. And in fact, our whole lives, and it should be because we are images of God, that this is how we should love, is our love to others should be done with such weighty mercy that those around us are also bent over and surprised by this love. In fact, this next picture, there's actually these things called windblown trees that grow in these windy environments that actually right there, this tree is permanently in this place. And if I were gonna say, what is our posture if we are going to reflect God's love? It is one that we have been so enamored and it just completely like just experiential every day, all the time with God's love, that we are bent backwards by his mercy. And when we're bent backwards by his mercy, like there's nothing that we can do but to look up towards God and raise our eyes to him and say, God, you are glorious, you are beautiful, you are big. But don't be fooled by a world that says, oh, God's love is just this big. And also don't live a life in a way where you just live giving fist bumps and saying, hey man, God loves you. Because God doesn't love with a fist bump. He loves like a hurricane, unstoppable, destructive wind. But he has a promise that you are rooted and established in his love as well, and you will not fall over. So the next line, when all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory. I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. Oh, no, just kidding. All right. No, we want to go there. We want to go there. Now, here's the thing. How many of you guys saw a solar eclipse in April? Oh, my gosh. There is no doubt. Now, here is the problem. When I went to school, I was really good at, I'm not quite sure, but what I wasn't that great at is science. And I wonder, is there a scientist in the house anywhere? Oh, it's you, Professor Gizmo. Hey.
It is I.
It's Professor Gizmo.
How are you, Trey?
I'm great. Thank you for helping us out at our VBS and not just some random character that shows up on stage.
I wonder if I can help today.
You know, I need to explain what an eclipse is, but I wonder if there might be someone else who could also help us do that.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's interesting. I mean, a solar eclipse, They say it's like a once-in-a-lifetime thing, and then it happens every 3 years.
I know. How do we... like, I can't control...
Huh.
You know what we need? I think we need a sun.
A sun? Oh, because we live in Hollywood now. Yeah!
Now, everyone pause. This is serious. Look at everyone's faces.
Bianca is blinded.
Yes, you're blinded, and I promise we're gonna go somewhere. Can I have an assistant? Ransom, come on up here. Go to Professor Gizmo.
Ransom, I need you to put on this lab coat. It's from my wife, Professor Flowers.
All right, Ransom. There you go. Sorry, I just made it more on Danielle. We're good. All right. Ransom, can you help us understand what is an eclipse?
It's
a solar one. I know I need to actually give you very specific.
Yeah. A solar eclipse is when the moon passes between the sun and the earth.
That's right. Now, we have a sun. What else do we need?
A moon.
Oh!
All right. Can you help me create a solar eclipse? These people really need you to do it right now. Okay? Come on over. Show me. If this is going to be... All right.
Oh. Oh, man, I wish you guys could see what I could see. The shadow along the whole wall. That is cool.
Now, Ransom, if you were going to think about which one of these elements, without knowing the song, would you immediately think about who God is?
The sun.
Yeah, why?
Because God is like light and like...
Yeah, and that's true, right? We learn a lot about how God is like light, right? He's the light of the world, all of these things. This is what's peculiar about this song. Do you know why?
Is God the moon? Or
Yeah, God's actually the moon in this song, which is interesting. Because here's the thing. We live in a world, if we don't know Jesus, where there is nowhere that we can go to escape the affliction of the broken world. And if you stood in that light for all of your life in this light of the sun without any sunscreen, what's gonna happen?
You're gonna get sunburned and might get skin cancer and it would be really bad for
That's
you.
That's right. But what does God do?
God protects us from the...
He goes between us.
Yes.
Right, thank you, Ransom. Professor Gizmo.
Ransom, good work.
If you mind holding this for me real quick, and
yes,
then we
sir.
Go from there. The other thing that I think is interesting about solar eclipses is their beauty. That even when something passes in the way, what everybody wants to see is the total eclipse. We want to see all of the beautifulness of the light. But all of humanity in a solar eclipse, well, even just this little, just go with me, not just the little, partial whatever. But when we're behind this eclipse, we're protected by God's amazing, incredible love. That he really does truly stand in front of our afflictions and protects us. It's beautiful. It's glorious. Go ahead and hit that red button. There you go. All right, you can turn the lights back on. Thank you, Professor Gizmo. Woo! I'll deal with that later. All right. God doesn't love with a fist bump. He literally puts heavenly bodies in, not literally, Jonathan's like, he doesn't literally do that. Anyway, sorry, I can hear Jonathan telling me this. But he becomes a planetary object in front of the brightest shining thing in our way and positions himself in a way where he takes all of the pain, all of the sorrow, all of the hurt, all of these things so that we might be protected. And he willingly does it. And he doesn't just do it in just a silly fashion that's just like, I'm going to turn off the lights. But he does it in a glorious way where we get to look up
and see this beautiful, miraculous thing happening. So God doesn't love with a fist bump. He loves in a way that takes away our affliction. All right, so the next line, the most controversial. So heaven meets earth like a sloppy wet kiss, and my heart turns violently inside of my chest. I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way. This is where it's like, you know, do-do-do-do-do, right? You know, I mean, we're going to go big, right? Now, for some of you, you are like, oh, sometimes we sing that line a different way. And we think about it as an unforeseen kiss. Well, first, I have to remind ourselves. John Mark McMillan didn't write this song to be a worship song. And part of the reason why Crowder changed this is because it kind of made people feel a little uncomfortable to sing Sloppy Wet Kiss. And you might be in that space. And first and foremost, like, I want to say I respect you and I hear you. And at the same time, I think that unforeseen kiss is a weird theology. Because if what we're saying is heaven meeting earth is something that's unforeseen, I think I'd rather be uncomfortable. Because there is nothing unforeseen about heaven and earth coming back together. There's nothing unforeseen about the kingdom of God breaking into our day-to-day and becoming the world, creation, our lives, becoming what God intended us to be. However, that being said, I think that we kind of need to experience what a sloppy wet kiss looks like. So it's my 17th wedding anniversary today, so my wife is gonna... No, I've got a better idea. Go ahead and hit the video here. Yeah, yeah. So now you're like, well, Trey, this is a horrible line, and I'm never gonna be able to unsee that. Why did Jonathan open his mouth? We don't know. We don't know. It was happening in real time. It wasn't in slow motion, but I'm so glad we got it. And at a risk, at a risk that that's the only thing you remember, I think it's a beautiful picture. Because I think sometimes when we hear about the love of God, the way it's taught to us is there is this perfection to it. Don't get me wrong. God's love is perfect. It's kind, it's obedient, it's cheerful, does not boast. But God's love is not always neat. And I think one of the hardest things for us is to reconcile when God's love is not neat, is it truly real? Listen, if you are a teen, tween in here, let me tell you something. The world is a broken place. And there are a lot of confusing and hard things in our world. And as a 39-year-old, I can tell you I'm still sometimes confused by our world. But there's something very true about our world.
is that God is actively right now remaking it with the people of God and through his cross in Jesus Christ. That there is a way to see this world differently. It's not always neat. It's not always organized. It doesn't always make sense. But I will tell you that his love is perfect. Because I've seen it. I've known it. And that the truth is that when we sing songs, I want us to realize, and I want us to be a church, that we don't sing songs passively. That we sing songs actively. That when we say things out of our mouths, y'all, we, if there's one thing that you guys do, and me when I'm out there on a Sunday morning, besides saying hey to our friends and talking, we are singing words. Now, you may not like to sing, and that's fine. Just say the words. Because the purpose of the words aren't just for us to feel good about the music. It's to remind our hearts of the truths of God. It's actually entering into songs like this, saying, he loves us, how he loves us so. This song was born out of grief. John Mark McMillan is not just proclaiming this song. He is in desperate need to be reminded of those words. Because in the midst of a very messy love, he reminds himself he needs to step into it. So I'm going to have the band come on up. They're just going to get ready and play. But we're going to sing this song. And y'all know I'm an emotional human being. And if you really know me, you really know I'm a very emotional human being. But I want to invite you in as a period of reflection in this to challenge yourself to genuinely think about these words. Do you believe? Do you really see that God's love is like a hurricane? Do you believe that his mercy is so strong that he forms us into beings that are just all we can do is look up and be bent over in mercy? Do you truly believe that he gets in front of the sun of affliction for you so that you don't have to bear it? And in that, do you see the beauty in the cross? Do you need to be reminded of that? That's what our songs do. It reminds us of God's love for us. And when we sing it, we don't just sing it for ourselves. We sing it for others. This is the thing about corporate worship. It is the thing that we gather together around every single Sunday and spend 4 to 5 long poems saying words that are affirming our deep beliefs. We shouldn't blindly go into it. And so, I'd like to pray for us, but I would just challenge you, step into this song this morning. Whether that be where you need to get into a totally different posture of worship, of being bent low, whether it be you need to raise your hands, whether it be you need to write, whether you need to say, hey, listen, next to me, what I need to be reminded of the love of God is that someone's here with me and I need you to pray for me. I'm not going to just go to the prayer room right in just a minute. I need to be prayed for right now. Grab that person next to you and be like, pray with me during this song. This is a moment for congregational response. May we not just be passively singing. May we be active in what we do and what we sing and say. Father, we love you. God, we are thankful that you are truly jealous for us. You want and desire us. Father, you are good. We give you the rest of this morning. Amen.